Many times unconsciously when we sing a song, we just enjoy the tune. But I believe we all must be exercised and learn to touch the content and to touch the Lord. This is important. We are not singing it to ourselves. We are singing as if we are singing a new song to the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Is this a new song to you? Oh, I know that. It's an old song. If this song becomes old to you, I will be very concerned about you. I'll be very concerned about you. Right? This song must be fresh, living. And our true desire when you sing, there is no other joy on earth which gives my heart delight. Isn't that wonderful? What other joy do you have, Sarah? Really? Well, that's great. That's wonderful. Right? It should not just be a song for us, but a true desire. And that's why we need to exercise to sing it out of our heart to the Lord and out of our innermost being, out of our spirit. Right? Then eventually this song becomes a part of your heart. Why do you choose a song? Not because it's your favorite song, but I hope it is His favorite song. Right? Because in the past, I have seen so many, in the past 40, 50 some years, everybody selected his favorite song. Right? Firstly, favorite tune, and favorite topic. Right? And who is enjoying it? Of course you, because it's your favorite. But what a wonderful thing that we can touch the Lord. And I hope that He's touched by our heart. This is the main thing. Right? Otherwise, we just sing and sing and sing and sing and sing and sing for, I don't know, 12 songs at the end. After singing the song, we all have problem with our throat. Oh Lord, my King will soon come back again. And this song is very up to date today. You should sing this song very much differently than you sang it before. Right. Even before the conference. Because the Lord is coming soon. Yes. Now, it's very possible that you and I, we will experience either going through the day of God's wrath, or we will be taken up as first fruits to stand with Him on heavenly Mount Zion. Right? These are the two choices you have today. Plus, on top of that, we have the possibility of not tasting death. Right? I always remember what the Lord said in Matthew 16. There will be some of you standing here that will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in the glory of His kingdom. Of course, after they saw in chapter 17, they died again. Right? I'm sorry. They died. They died. But that word, hidden behind that word, is an indication and a prophecy concerning today, that there is a possibility for us that we will not taste death. When we see the Lord coming in the glory of his kingdom. Do you have that faith? Do you want to taste death? Yeah. Praise God. We have this possibility. What a wonderful time. What a privilege living at the end of this age. Yeah, even when I was much younger, now I'm 75, but when I always told the Lord, Lord, I hope that in my time I will see you coming in. Right, and not to taste death. Praise the Lord. And there is such a possibility. Right. After last night's fellowship, I think, oh, wow. It's very possible. Praise the Lord for Brother John. He's trying so hard to convince us. And I hope that we are all convinced, John. It's necessary. It is necessary. Right? It is necessary. Yet, on the other hand, when it doesn't, or it's not happening yet, we cannot be fully sure. But the Lord is giving us a foretaste and a warning. And we must say there is a possibility. We are living in a very special time, seeing the last fulfillment. The fulfillment of the last prophecies. Right. So, we saw now, wow, Jerusalem. Now is not only under the control of Israel, but now is the eternal capital. And nobody can reverse that. Nobody can reverse that. It's really wonderful. And the Lord raised up somebody who has the courage to do it. Yeah, really wonderful. Doing that or declaring that is a challenge to the whole world. It is a challenge to the whole world. And without doing that, it is very difficult to fulfill some of the prophecies concerning Jerusalem at the very end. Becoming a stone of burden to all the nations. And the Lord will gather them all there to Jerusalem. Yep. And the Lord will destroy the armies of the nations. Right. So everything is for the fulfillment of God's plan and God's word. Right. So you need to have a deep realization. And then, of course, the next step is the covenant, the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And he shall make a covenant with power. Well, of course. And that he is not just anybody, right? It is, in a way, related to the prince in chapter 26, and yet it is not that prince. The Bible is always written in a very special way. Right? So, there is a prince in chapter 26, and there is, in verse 26, sorry, I woke up at 4:30 this morning. And then had some time of fellowship with somewhere on the other side of the world. And then went back to bed shortly after 6 and woke up at 7:30. So you should forgive me if I sleep talk this morning. You know, some people talk in their sleep. And, well, that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm talking in my sleep. I'm sleep talking. Yeah, sleep fellowshipping. So, you have the prince, which refers to Titus in chapter 26, who came to destroy the city. In verse 26. In verse 26. I'm glad you understand. And then there's a he. I didn't mention who is he. And so that confused a lot of people, thinking that he is the same person as the prince in verse 26. But no, he is a different person. He will confirm or with power make a covenant with many for 1 week. Well, that is 7 years. Right? So that he is another person, and hopefully is the one that we know. Hopefully. Right? So we faintly see him. We faintly see, not so clear yet, but we faintly see this person who will make this covenant. And in the middle of the week, he will break the covenant. That's another he. It's not the same as the first he. So how many persons are there? Three. Praise the Lord. Right. So this is a mystery. Verse 26 is Titus. The verse 27, that first he is the one who is going to make the peace covenant, the covenant for 7 years, for 1 week. Then in the middle of the week, he will break the covenant that he is now a different person. So in a way, I would say, the first he, of course, everybody knows, is Titus the prince. The second he is the seventh king in the book of Revelation chapter 17. And the third he is the eighth king in Revelation chapter 17. That's all we can say. You just have to say amen. That's it. This is really an amazing mystery, right? It's a riddle, it's a mystery. I think we all need to be aware of that, because the time has come. The time has come. And so we should be aware, we should know. May the Lord give us wisdom. May the Lord give us heavenly wisdom, wisdom from above. And yet, we should not definitely say who, right? But we should know that there are these differences in Daniel chapter 9. Now let us just briefly share and conclude this conference concerning the Lord's coming, actually. And like our brother shared, Mu Chang, that the book of Isaiah is just like a mini Bible. meaning in a sense that it contains everything, the whole picture, in a nutshell, right? In a nutshell. So you can see the fallen situation of God's people, right? And how the Lord will judge. Don't think that, I'll just take the blood. You know, the blood is definitely necessary, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And we appreciate the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is another word that says we must repent. If I just say, well, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, forgive me, but I don't repent, I do it again. There is no change. Right? And we take the Lord's blood in a very superficial way. We almost take it as something that is common. And Hebrews warned us, don't look at the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as something that is common. It's not common. The Lord paid such a great price, not just for you to just say, oh, praise the Lord, thank you for your precious blood. You walk away and you do it again. No. Right? We underestimate. We do not understand the preciousness of this blood. It's holy. It is something that you cannot just take it as if it's a piece of soap in your sink. So convenient when your hands are dirty. Oh, my hands are dirty. You go wash it. And finish and you walk away. No. It is for you to take the precious blood of the Lamb to restore the fellowship with the living God so that you can enter into the Holy of Holies. Otherwise, God will not see you. Right? We enter into the Holy of Holies by the precious blood of the Lamb. Right? And you have to be the one that is walking in the light. Like 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, what happens? We have fellowship with the Father and? Come on, you know 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You need to take the whole thing as a interrelated package there. We walk in the light because God is in the light. And He is the holy God. He is righteous. He is glorious. Right? So, if we walk in the light, He sees everything. And of course, you see whatever you can see too. And then we can have fellowship. Right? Walking in the light is very important for fellowship with the Father. Then, if that is the situation, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse us from all sin. I cannot walk in darkness and, I'm sorry, Father. I take the precious blood and continue to walk in darkness. How about that? Then you have no fellowship with the Father. You know, John's purpose is to bring us into the fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is His purpose. He wanted to bring us into this fellowship. And to be in this fellowship, the first message you need to listen is God is love. Huh? Is that the first message? God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. So you want to fellowship with God who is light. What are you going to do? Walk in darkness? What should we do? Walk in the light. Doesn't mean that you are perfect. But if an imperfect man such as I, and if I walk in darkness, I will not realize that I'm not perfect. I will think I'm all right. You know, if I'm in darkness, I think I'm all right. But if you're in the light, what happens? You begin to realize you're not okay. And this is very important. This is the meaning of walking in the light. And if you see you're not okay, but praise the Lord, you're in the light. Then you can have fellowship. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse you. But if you say, I have no sin, then the truth is not in you, and you lie. And there's no fellowship. You're in darkness. So, and then you have to confess instead of hiding it. You know, many times we don't confess, we just say sorry. Right? But confess is something that is from your innermost being. You see that it's wrong. You confess. You don't hide it. And you want to be healed, you confess. Right? And we all need to do that. If you confess to the judge will tell you, or the Lord will tell you, sin no more. Not just, okay, we forget you, now you can go. But the Lord will tell you, sin no more. Have you ever heard that? Or you just read it one time? Oh, yeah, it's somewhere in the Bible. Sin no more. Right? That means there is a change. You have to learn to deal with it. Especially when we see the day approaching. Otherwise, you will not change. Otherwise, there's judgment. So, in chapter 1 of 1 John, why did John say that? What did John write in chapter 1? The answer is in chapter 2, verse 1. Right? Are you in 1 John there? What? Chapter 2, verse 1 says what?
My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin.
Oh, these things I write to you. What things? The one that he wrote in chapter 1. That you may not sin. He didn't say, so that if you continue to sin. This thing I write to you because I know you will continue in sin. So, and I just want to know what you should do if you continue in sin. No. These things I write to you that you may not sin. You know, many times we have no more feeling concerning our sin, that we don't feel that it's that bad anymore, you know, because we sin so much, it becomes a part of our life. And then we think, okay, I sin again, well, that's the way I am. We don't realize that sin is horrible. And what did Hebrews says? You have not yet fought with sin unto bloodshed. Do you really hate sin? What kind of an answer is that? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a better answer. Because not enough, I don't know, how much is not enough? No. Right. You should say yes. Because that should be the normal situation as a Christian in our life. You should tell the Lord, Lord, I hate that. Save me from this terrible thing. Right? Otherwise, you'll not change. Right? Right? The children, they didn't know that throwing a fit is terrible. They thought it's okay. They thought even it is their right to do it. Right? Right? So, and they get away with it. That's why they do it again. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me when I was a boy. Like you. Yeah. Is that the way we deal with sin? We do not know how hateful sin is in front of this holy God. Our God is holy. Our God is holy. Right. But today, yeah, like the fellowship, that everything is upside down. Sin becomes okay. And if you're okay, then you are, dumb. Then you're not modern. Intolerant. You're intolerant. If you cannot tolerate sin, you are intolerant. Goodness. Everything is upside down. Wrong side up. Right. We are living in such an age, but here in Zion, everything should be the right side up. Should be placed in the right order. And don't think there's no judgment. If we refuse to change, we refuse to turn, we refuse to repent, there is judgment. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 4, for example. Yes, the Lord is going to recover Zion. Definitely. The Lord is going to recover Zion. He's not going to give up Zion, but He's going to save it. By what? By grace? By forgiveness? By mercy? Oh, mercy is sitting there. You know, I like to see a brother whose name is Judgment. I never heard anybody whose name is Judgment. Chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called what? Holy. Will be called holy. Now, do you think all of a sudden you become holy? Can you become holy all of a sudden? Übernacht. Overnight, you're holy. When the Lord comes back, I'm holy now. No, you cannot become holy overnight. Never. Impossible. No magic. No miracle. No. So, he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem, this is the remnant, will be called holy. My, this is such an amazing word. You know, many times we don't pay attention. And we are not very exact even when we read the Bible. And our eyes fool you. And our eyes fool us. Everyone who is recorded among the living, not the dead, the living in Jerusalem, holy and living and in Zion and Jerusalem. Right? You have to be in Zion, Jerusalem. You have to be holy and you have to be living. Oh. Wow. Not bad. You still want to be in Zion? Yeah. When the Lord has washed away the filth. It's filth. And now if you talk about sin, you don't think sin is so filthy. Filth. You want to be filthy? Filth of the daughters of Zion, and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst, shedding a lot of blood. How many people have we slain? Oh, I didn't kill anybody. Who said? That's right. Father God, how is the Lord going to wash away the filth and purge away the blood shed there in her midst? By the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Judgment and fire and burning. Oh, my goodness. Not by the precious blood of the Lamb. Yes, today, yes. But if you don't take it seriously, properly, with a proper attitude and appreciation, then the Lord will have to additionally use judgment and burning. This is what Isaiah said. Oh, don't say it's just for them at that time in the Old Testament. Well, I know some people will say that and argue with you. That's not for us. For us, it's the precious blood. For them, it's the spirit of judgment and burning. Okay. I won't argue with you. You'll find out sooner or later. No need for argument. You know, when I was much younger, I liked to argue. Today, I don't like to argue. Yeah. When I was his age, I liked to argue. No, this is like this. I'm right and this is you're wrong. And why I like to argue? Because I was like you before. But today I don't like to argue. You don't want to believe, that's fine. That's fine. I don't think God will argue with you. You just do whatever you like. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us to see that we better put things right today. You want to put things right, right? So, may the Lord have mercy on us. And John continued to say, and if anyone sin, that means it is still possible because we are not yet perfect. We are not perfected yet. Remember, we have that half-brother who is plaguing you and bothering you and fighting against the Spirit all the time. Galatians 5, they're always trying to quarrel with you, persecuting you. And then you have your twin brother. Oh, we are so complicated. And then you have your uncle and your cousin. Oh, Lord Jesus, right. It's so terrible, right? We have a lot of terrible relatives. A lot of terrible relatives. Yeah, but if anyone sin, we have Jesus Christ, righteous, who is our what? Advocate before the Father. He is our great high priest there speaking for us. Why do you need an advocate? Because you did something wrong. And you have to appear before a judge. And you need somebody to speak for you. Somebody not crooked, okay? Don't try to get the most crooked lawyer to get you out. That doesn't work with that judge up there. It's not going to work. But you have Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Right? So in case we failed and we sinned, right? Not because we desire to, right? We still have such a wonderful Christ speaking for us. So God prepared everything. But don't say God prepared everything, so hallelujah, I'm free to sin. You have that idea in your head, the Lord will say, I have another solution for that. By the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. That's the option. Which option would you prefer? The first one, yeah. Good. Wow, wonderful. I think all of us will prefer the former option. Because now is the time that the Lord is coming, we need to be more specific. Because the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is most holy. It's very holy. If it is not, then it cannot be brought into the Holy of Holies to be sprinkled on the veil there. It is very, very important, right? And may the Lord have mercy. We need to have the realization. Every time you enter into the Holy of Holies, you need to treasure this precious blood. And then not just the precious blood, you need to have your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Many people only quote verse 19 by the precious blood. Lord, I take the blood, here I am, and you just rush into it. You just rush into it. Do you like to rush into it? You're rushing into death. It will be your spiritual death. Because God is holy. Now, we don't realize this. Even the word holiness, even I don't have that full realization of what holy is. Holiness. Holiness. Right. And not only to have our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, then it also says our bodies washed with pure water. That's how you get in. Nobody talks about it. Right. You remember the temple of Ezekiel? The gates? The gates, with all the guards, just like 7 times worse than the airport. You go through 2 x-rays, then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. My goodness. Yeah, we don't realize this. That's why some people hate that vision of Ezekiel. Say it's useless. We don't need that. It doesn't help us. Well, it helps me. If it doesn't help you, that's fine. Right? But when time comes, you realize that you won't be able to enter in. Right. So that shows how holy our God is. If you don't see that picture, you will not appreciate salvation. This is why we need to be saved to the uttermost. Right. Today, the security there through the airport is not very secured. People can have tricks and go through it, but not in the temple of Ezekiel. Oh Lord, holy, highway of holiness. It's easy to sing that song. Right. So the way to really come to Zion is you have to be in this highway. How long is this highway? Ah. Yeah. What does it mean to you if you're walking in the highway of holiness? That means you start with not being very holy. But praise the Lord, you are there. So the more you walk, what happened to you? The holier you should become. But unfortunately, many Christians in their Christian life, the more they walk, the unholier they become. So, obviously, they are not walking in the way of holiness. They must be running the race in the race of defilement. So it is full of defilement on the way. So the more you walk there, the more all the defilement sticks to you. So by the time you arrive at the end, you are most unholy. You enter into the most unholy of unholy. You're in the unclean. You become very unclean at the very end. You're in the wrong path. Yeah. So don't walk into the path of knowledge. It's not the pathway of preaching. Lord, Lord, did we not preach? Did we not do so many good works and drive out demons? And the Lord says, you're lawless. You're unclean. You're unclean. So the highway of holiness should mean that when you're walking in it, the more you walk in it, the holier you will become. Impossible that you walk in this way of holiness and at the end you still remain unholy. If you still remain unholy, you won't go very far in this highway of holiness, because it is written, no unclean person shall walk in it. You think God is joking, eh? Oh, he is so intolerant. According to the language of the libertad and demonocrats, you are so intolerant. And you are racist. Yeah, you're right. We're not racist, we're righteous. Yeah, because they belong to a dirty race. We belong to a holy nation. We are a special people. Oh, you see, you're racist. Well, I'm not racist, but I belong to a holy race. Sorry. That's what I am. What can I say? You're a special people, a holy nation, right? A special treasure, people of his possession. Well, but we are not racist, but we are a special race. You're a special generation. A chosen generation. Isn't that good? So are you afraid to say that? You should tell your friend, you should belong to that special generation. I hope the Lord will give us wisdom to give the right answer at the right time to the right people. No, I'm not racist. But my citizen is in the heavens. What can I do? You want to be there? That's fine. It's your choice. You want to be one with the devil? It's your choice. But don't blame me. I want to be one with God. I want to be holy. You want to be unholy. It's your choice. And you have the liberty. But please give me the liberty. Right. So, praise the Lord. Zion must be holy. I don't care if you can define Zion here and that and that and that, but what I care about is whether I enter in or I'm not in. Are you in or are you out? Are you in? If you're in, then you have to walk in this way of holiness. And you don't have to be very smart to walk in the way of holiness. If you want to be a teacher, you have to be smart. If you want to have a lot of knowledge, you want to be a theologian, you want to be a famous preacher, well, I don't know what you want to be, then you should be smart. But if you want to walk in this way of holiness, the requirement is not to be smart, but to be holy. And to be holy, everyone can do it, if he wants. But to be smart, I'm too dumb. What am I going to do? I'm too dumb. But to be holy, you don't have to be smart. Praise the Lord. So even a what? Even a fool will not get lost. Wow, I'm glad I'm not so smart. Are you so smart? Hallelujah. Who is smart here? A lot of smart ones, they don't like to walk in this way. But I'd rather be a fool and walk in this way than to be a smart one walking not in the way of holiness, not in a king's highway, but in the devil's highway. Straight to hell. Highway to hell. A low way. You are right. A low way to hell. Well, this is really true, and that is what Isaiah is telling us. Right? And remember, right in the very beginning, we have a wonderful physician, Yahweh Rofika, who desires to heal us. But let me tell you, even the best physician cannot heal you if you don't want to. If you insist that you're healthy. You know, there was one time I experienced, one time all of a sudden I have a strong allergy. I went to see a very strange doctor. And he's a doctor. And he just took a look at me. He says, "This is just eczema." I says, "Eczema? I never had it before, and it's overnight." "What do you mean it's eczema? Are you the doctor or am I the doctor?" That's what he told me. I was sitting there on the doctors. And he just looked at me and he said, oh, that's just eczema. I was suffering so much and he just told me it's eczema. I said, can it be really eczema? I never had it before and it all of a sudden came. He got mad. Are you the doctor? And I go, am I the doctor? I said, sir, you are the doctor. Goodbye. I walked out. I'm afraid of such a doctor. I don't believe such a doctor. I quickly looked for another doctor. And I told the other doctor what happened, and he shook his head. I'm glad that our heavenly, the real doctor is not like that. He's a real physician. He knows. But if I told him, I'm okay, I don't need to come and see you. I'm okay. I don't know that I'm okay. Actually, I'm not okay. Right. And how much the Lord pleaded with his people, even in these chapters here. Many times, again and again, telling them, come to me, I am the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord of hosts. I am your God. I am the only God. I am the true God. But they won't come. You won't come, that's fine. God will never force you. Really, God will not force anybody. He created in you a free will, and he will respect that will. Even if you're fallen, he'll respect it. Satan will not respect that will, although he has to. That is why you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But if you don't resist, he'll be there all the time. But if you resist him, why is it that he has to flee from you? Because he has also to respect your will. If you say, no, get away from me, he'll run away. He will even flee. But if you say, Lord, I'm so weak. And Satan will say, amen, amen. That's right. That's right. You are very weak. That's very good. Very good. You are truly weak. Why did the apostle tell you, Peter says, resist him and he will flee? And actually, it's very easy. It's not hard. Because that will, if God even himself has to respect your will, how much more the devil? How much more the devil? So learn to resist the devil. Say, no, get out of here. Get thee behind me. Not just behind me, get me. I'm going to kick you like a ball and go to the moon or somewhere. Get out of here. Right? Learn to say this. Learn to say this. Right? Actually, the Lord wants to heal us. Anytime we go to him. Anytime we go to him. As long as you're willing, as long as you repent and you turn, you really mean business, you want to be healed, he will heal you. Praise the Lord. We have such a wonderful God. But Isaiah told us, they don't want to. They have a stiff neck, rebellious, meaning to say their will is against it. They don't want to. If you don't want to, okay, that's fine. The Lord will send Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord will send the Assyrians. The Lord will send Titus, the Roman prince. The Lord will send a lot of your relatives to come. Your relatives will be hugging you. Wow, we are really, really related. My beloved brother, he will hug you. your relative will really love you. You know, the relatives that Stefan showed us so clearly, right? Right. They will love you. How about that? Right. So don't just listen to the message. You need to apply it. You need to take it to your heart. And you need to experience it. All of this fellowship will mean nothing if you don't take it to heart and just forget about it. You go home, and when you go to the East Coast, it is so cold, everything is frozen. and then that's it. Then that's it. Right, you become numb. Yeah. And when the conference is over, everything is over. No, you have to chew it like a cow chewing the cud. Right, bring it out again, and then chew it again, and fellowship with the Lord, and pray with the Lord concerning this word. Tell the Lord, Lord, save me from lots, from my cousin and my second cousin, right? And the third cousin, a lot of cousins, from my half-brother and my half-cousins and my twin brother. And even my stepmother. You are right. Save me, oh Lord, from my stepmother. You're absolutely right. I forgot about it. The stepmother. Oh Lord. Oh Lord Jesus. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Let us come to Him. Let us really see and have our eyes on Zion. The Lord definitely will restore Zion. Zion is so precious, right? Go through, like our brother said, Muchan said, in Isaiah over 40 times the word Zion is mentioned. Yeah. 40-some, maybe 49 times, I don't know how many times, Zion is mentioned. And really, Zion, you have to realize today, just one word, holiness. Holiness. And holiness has something to do with His divine nature. It's the most important nature, description of God's divine nature. He is holy. And Peter says very clearly, be holy because I am holy. Right? And of course, pursue holiness without which no one can see God. No wonder none of us can see Him. If you don't pursue holiness, you cannot see God. To be righteous is still not enough. To have peace is still not enough. But holiness, holiness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And may the Lord have mercy on us. And you just have to remember today, in Zion, we have to be holy. The way to reach there is holiness. And the way to remain there is also holiness. And therefore the priesthood has also to be holy. It's a holy priesthood. Praise the Lord for the priesthood. And as Sam shared, which is very important, how to practice, right? The building of Zion. How to build it? The way is the way of priesthood. This time when I was in Korea, I stressed very much the matter of the practicing of the holy priesthood to qualify you for a kingship in a coming kingdom. Today, you cannot be a king yet, right? Are you a king in California? Don't go to tell people, I'm a king. No, you're not a king yet. The king will be in the coming age. But today, you're definitely a priest. But what kind? A very gifted priest? Capable priest? Strong priest? What kind of a priest? Holy. Firstly, holy. Yeah, because if you're not holy, you cannot be royal. Royal is for the future. But now you have to be holy. And why is it called a royal priesthood? Because the priesthood will qualify you to be royal. That's why the kingship is later. But holy is now. You have to be holy now. If you are not disqualified, then you are not qualified. You are disqualified. Definitely disqualified. And the Lord, by His mercy, has opened our eyes to see, first of all, you need to experience. And in this word concerning the feast, then I will use the word enjoyment. Because you have to love it. Enjoyment means you love it. You cannot enjoy something you don't love. Right? And what you don't experience, you cannot enjoy. You cannot say, oh, this morning I enjoy mangoes. Did you eat mango this morning? No. You have mango for breakfast? No. But I just thought about mango, so I really enjoyed it because I thought about it. Oh, yeah, mangoes. Oh, yeah. I close my eyes and I see mangoes. I really enjoy it. You're fooling yourself. Then you're a real fool. Right? An enjoyment is really you're tasting it. And you love the taste. I can see sometimes the children, they love to enjoy and eat what they love. Right? You know, when the kids come to my home, my honey at first was so full because Mary and I, we don't eat so much honey. But when the kids come, after just a few days, it's gone. That is enjoyment. Really enjoyment. My, I enjoy watching them enjoy. I think the Father in heaven will be so happy if we are enjoying Christ like the children enjoying the honey. Wonderful, wonderful. Our Heavenly Father will really be so happy to see us enjoy such riches. Really wonderful. But like you said, if you're not eating it, what are you talking about enjoyment? You don't even taste it. But the feast is for enjoyment. But you have to love it. Do you love the Passover lamb? But if you don't love the smell of the lamb, some people cannot stand the smell of the lamb and the taste of the lamb, so they don't enjoy the lamb. Right? Too strong the smell. But hey, for some people, wow, it's a real enjoyment. Right? Just like durian. Yeah. You know, for people who don't like the smell of durian, they'll run away from it. But for those who love durian, it's fragrance. I can smell it if somebody brought it in. Just at the door, durian. You want to know where the durian is? Just follow the smell. And you'll end up there, durian. Wow, it is wonderful. It's a heavenly fruit. Yeah, it's a heavenly fruit. And that's enjoyment, really enjoyment. So enjoyment is something real, something tangible. The feast of the Lord is for our true enjoyment. And we have to love it. We have to see how precious they are. Right? And the Lord paid a great price to prepare this wonderful feast for us. Right? And then for us to prepare the sacrifices. If you don't know how to enjoy the feast and not enjoying the feast, it will be very difficult for you to prepare the offerings. And one thing more I'd like to share this morning, and then we can perhaps end the meeting. Because these are the most important thing. Even Isaiah, the Lord, stressed the matter of offerings. You did not bring me any offerings. My burnt offering, my meal offerings. Even the incense you didn't. Right? So you can really see that in the book of Hebrews, if I ask you, how did the Lord get himself up to the throne? How did he climb up there? Huh? What qualified him to sit there on the throne? Huh? Just that? Oh, just obedient to the Father. The Lamb of God was slain. And what else? Well, to make the long story short, all of these offerings, from the burned offering, living such a life. Remember, he says, I came not to do my own will. In the Hebrews. Behold, ye have given me a body, and I'm come to do your will, O God. So first of all, the Lord came in his whole human living. He is there to do the will of the Father. That's why the Lord says, no one can inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So the burnt offering is very important. And the Lord could be qualified and was qualified to sit on a throne because he lived such a life. Suppose the Lord just did the will of the Father once in a while, whenever he likes, and when he was in the mood. You think he'll be qualified to sit there? No, he won't be qualified to sit there. So, the first way to be qualified is to be a burnt offering. Right? What about the second qualification? How are you going to live such a life for the will of the Father? You need a perfect humanity. You need a right humanity. So that is the what? The meal offering, the second offering. The meal offering is another qualification for the Lord to sit there. Can you imagine he shares a throne with his half-brother. You think Ishmael is going to sit with him on the throne? Or maybe his twin brother? Or maybe the stepmother says, I want to sit there too. No, of course not. So the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, even through death and resurrection, he created a new man. What for? And are you putting on the new man? Are you putting off? If you are not putting off the old man and put on the new, you cannot sit there with him. The Lord is not going to sit on the throne with with all the old men. You think you will sit with him on a throne the way we are? As the old men? So what are you going to do? Put off the old man, put on the new. And who is this new man? What is it? It's the perfect, wonderful humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And then, with such a humanity, praise the Lord, of course, what did he do? He overcame Satan. Only the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ can withstand the worst and the strongest temptation, even from Satan himself. The challenge, he took the challenge, not as God, but as a man. But as a man, his humanity is perfect, powerful, overcoming. Praise the Lord. His humanity could withstand all temptation. And Hebrews again tells us, as a man, he went through all kinds of suffering and was perfected through suffering. My, you and I, we cannot. If somebody just says something that offended you, you're already beginning to explode. And maybe you didn't explode, but you implode. You don't explode outwardly, but you explode inwardly. Boom. And then the next time, boom, then it comes. So first you implode and then you explode. Our humanity is not qualified for us to sit with him on the throne. But the Lord, in his humanity, passing through all kinds of sufferings, praise God, is qualified. Passed the test. Burnt offering, check. Meal offering, check. Sin offering, check. Wow. Right? Peace offering, my, he says, I and my Father are one. My goodness. And the Lord says, I do always, not just sometimes, but always, the things that are pleasing to the Father. How about you and I? Always? Not always. Sometimes? How many times? How many times a day? How many times a week? Oh Lord, you're right. That's why we need the peace offering. You know, with a peace offering, you need the power of resurrection. You need to overcome death. Because the death is going to pull you down. Right? And for us, we need the love for the peace. That's why with this wave offering, you receive the breast part of the peace offering. The breast means love. And then you need strength to make peace. That's why the heave offering, you have the shoulder part, the strong part. For peace, you need two things. You need strength and you need love. Then you will have peace. Otherwise, no peace. No peace. And it's not your strength and it's not your love. Praise God. That's why we need Christ as our peace offering to qualify us to sit on the throne. And then, of course, the wonderful thing is the Lord accomplished redemption on the cross. He shed his blood and he became the unique trespass offering, sin and trespass offering for us. Only he could accomplish such. Right? And the result is, of course, the Lord gave himself. But that drink offering is really for us. We should become this drink offering. That's why in Revelation chapter 5, when John was brought to the heavens there before the throne and saw the one sitting on the throne has a little book in his hand, and no one was found worthy to open that scroll, and neither in heaven, nor on earth, nor under the earth. What did John do? What happened to him? He wept. Do you weep that we are not worthy? No one among us is worthy. Do you weep for yourself that you are not worthy? You want to be worthy? Don't weep for others. I better weep for myself. John wept bitterly, not just a little teardrops coming down. He was weeping bitterly. He was weeping so hard. Why? Because no one was found worthy, including himself. He shouldn't think he was a great apostle, the beloved apostle. Even he was not worthy. Then he found one who is worthy. The angel says, "Weep not, there is one. There is one. There is only one." That's why I was asking you this morning, what makes him so worthy to sit on the throne? What qualified our Lord Jesus Christ to sit on the throne, you tell me? Now you can answer me. Right? Yeah. The priesthood will qualify us. Learning to prepare Christ as a burnt offering, as the meal offering. Christ as the peace offering, including the wave and the heave offering. Right? And if you experience this peace offering, not only is there a thanksgiving offering, but there is a voluntary, a vow offering. A vow. You will give a vow to the Lord. Right? Lord, I want to give myself to you. Right? Lord, I give my heart to you. Right? You have a vow for him. Right? And then you have the sin offering. Praise the Lord. The trespass offering. If we enjoy and experience and learn to prepare day by day all these offerings and choose the best for the Father, then you will become like Paul. He says, now it's time for me to pour out my life. You will be ready to be a martyr, to even die for the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a wonderful way, the way of the priesthood. That's why we are on the highway of holiness, and holy priesthood is the royal way. Yeah, don't think it's a simple verse. Don't think it is a simple line. What is the royal way again? The holy priesthood is the royal way. If we would learn this and perfect this, of course, right? There's no more second meeting. That's why I lengthened the first meeting. Second meeting, you can do, you can fellowship, you can, you know, whatever you like to do. Right? But learn this. The Lord has given us the holy way today. And don't you think if you practice this, keeping of the feast in the spirit, preparing the offerings, and don't say, oh, I'm bringing an all-inclusive offering. No, be specific. It's good to be specific now, right? And then learn to prepare and bring the best, right? We cannot get into details right now, but this is the way. If we do this, we will be more and more like him. Amen. And so the way of the true worship, on one hand, it seems like the Father wants this kind of worship, which is true. He is seeking for that. And do you know why he's seeking for that? It's not just to satisfy him, but in the back of his mind, he requires this because he knows you, and me, we all need this to make it to the kingdom. Okay? Is this so difficult? No. Praise God. Amen. Yeah.